live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Sir Keir Starmer says he's been assured there's enough of a police presence to cope with potential disorder in towns and cities over the coming days. Police are monitoring at least 30 gatherings, which are expected later.
My focus is on ensuring that our communities are safe. That is my sole focus. The police are doing a difficult job in difficult circumstances, and I think that everybody should be given their full support to ensure that our streets are safe.
Mourners have paid tribute to a 9-year-old girl who died in last week's knife attack at a dance class in Southport. The service for Alice da Silva Aguirre at St Patrick's Church in the town included hymns and speeches read in English and Portuguese, her parents' native language. And the US Vice President Kamala Harris and her new presidential election running mate, the Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, have appeared together on stage last night. They both took part in a rally of Democratic supporters in Philadelphia. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Stephen Davis.
1 minute you've got the gymnastics on. Off she goes, into flippy one, another flippy, followed by a flippy twisty, and the next! Flip, flip, hooray! You're a millionaire! Lotto, will you be next? Play on app. The National Lottery. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, the Business Mix Show.
1 minute you've got the gymnastics on. Off she goes, into flippy one, another flippy, followed by a flippy twisty, and the next! Flip, flip, hooray! You're a millionaire! Lotto, will you be next? Play on app. The National Lottery. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a very good evening wherever you may be. Welcome, as always, to The Business Mix. My name is Chrissy.
And I am Rachel. And yes, as Chrissy said, welcome to The Business Mix here on Colourful, where we bring you the best in all things Black business as we join you on your entrepreneurial journey, as you join us indeed. On app.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Indeed. How have you been, Chris? How's the week been for you?
The week has been a blessing. I've just been busy. I'm going to be jet setting shortly. So it's been a rush to get everything done. Oh my gosh, I keep in my head remembering we've only got a few more months till Christmas. So I'm busy with designs and all stuff. So yes, it's been busy.
Of course.
Been busy. How about you, my love?
I have been, same. It's been busy. Kids back to school. This after school club happening. This is happening. I've got to be here for this time. Yeah, it's been a lot. New schools starting. So, but it's new phase, as you know, new chapters are starting. But it's been a good experience, which will be repeated again as the old ones grow. But it's all good.
You can't retire yet.
So our show today.
Yes.
Really excited. Been trying to not I will say figuratively pin this guest down for a while. We were really excited when he first came on. And then we just saw his rise, like up into the atmosphere.
His blow up. His blow up in front of our faces. Amazing. On Channel 4 and here and there and anyway.
We love to see it. So today we have the Iman Effect in the house. We have the man of the moment, Emmanuel Asuko. Welcome.
Yo. Thank you for having me, man. Thank you for having me. It's good to be back. You know what's mad? I was thinking about it the other day. Like, I love you guys a lot, you know. I've always got love for you. I've always got time for you because you lot put me on early.
Yeah, of course.
I was in the YXL. I wasn't even the E-Man Effect.
Yeah, for real.
So business just out, and I used to do my seminars at the Africa Center and just starting out, and you guys get, and I always, it's always good to remember people that like showed you love before you blew, do you know what I mean? Because once you're up, everybody's a friend, do you know what I mean?
Everybody, I was going to say, do people recognize you and say, oh, can I have your autograph? Do they stop you in the street? Do you get that?
Yeah, no, I get stopped in the street a lot. Like, if I see 10 black people, like one of them's gonna know, like it's a wrap. Do you know what I mean? It's a wrap. Like, do you know what I mean? Which is good. And people don't just stop. They obviously, I get hugs. Like, especially the man them hug me all the time.
Oh,
because I think this life is just so hard. So when you see someone that makes you smile, makes you laugh, makes you like, just brings a little joy into your life for that 60 seconds once a day or whatever, it has a good soft spot. And then people always tell me their favorite video. That's like the number one thing. Yo, you did this video about it. Like, they've always got their own. So it's good, man. It's good.
Because Emmanuel, I don't know. I actually said, as soon as you came into our studio, you were a whirlwind. I remember you were all dressed up for the nine.
Come on.
You were whirlwind. We really vibed with you. And since that, like, as you said, your videos give me jokes, tremendous jokes.
Life.
It's just life, yes.
And people will share it. You're like, yeah, I've already seen that one. Oh my gosh.
Please, we've seen you, but in a nutshell, tell us what's been happening with live. What's been happening?
Yeah, you know what? I am. The maddest thing is, I think sometimes people think when you do this thing, you have to be ready. Like when we did our first interview, like I came in, like you said, I wore a suit. That's because I was coming from the city. That's what I was used to. You dress up, you be professional. And this idea of what it is to be professional in the city. And I think since then I found myself. And I think the best part about this journey for me on this business journey is finding my authentic self. Like, I don't have to think about what I'm saying, what I'm doing, where I'm going, what I'm wearing, because I'm just myself now. And I think, you know, the good thing is that sometimes you need to work and be employed to learn the skill, learn from others and learn what other people are doing. But the best thing about this for me is just being myself. So the journey was, you know, I was out when we last met. I was out just giving talks and seminars.
Yes.
Then I left work completely. Like, you know, I was fully self-employed and just doing the content online.
Sorry. In case no one knows, tell us what you used to do, because I'm just going in like your family. So please, tell us what you used to do for anyone who didn't hear our first show or haven't seen you on TV. Like, fully, I went in. It's my fault. I went in, like, with family. But introduce, like, what did you used
family.
To do?
We are family. But, so basically, I grew up Tower Hamlets, East London, Canary Wharf, near Canary Wharf. And basically, where I lived was Lamb House, which is right next to Canary Wharf. I used to look at them buildings in Canary Wharf and be like, you know, I've got to get out of my council estate and get over there. And basically, by 22, I became the youngest financial advisor in Barclays in the country. And then carried on my rise working in the bank. So I worked for Barclays, I worked in NatWest, HSBC, then I went to independent firms. And then I realized that, you know, financial advice in the UK is just targeted at high net worth people. So people typically at that time it was 50,000, but now the way money is now, it's like 100K before a typical advisor would even want to take you on as a client. And so what I realized was that where I'm coming from, you know, £100 is a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? Like, so let alone to say someone needs to have 100K to get financial advice. So I just got this in. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't even feel like I fitted in. Like, I didn't feel like I fitted in because everybody wanted me to be so professional and corporate. And I just want to have a good time in life. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave the city. I got made redundant. I said, you know what? This is my goal. Sometimes you need that. Okay, I'm not going back moment. I always tell people that when I got made redundant, I was like, that's my not going back moment.
Yeah.
So I took on the, you know, full time in my business, used my redundancy money to kind of give me enough to steady the ship plus my savings. And basically that year, 2019, I got my first show with Channel 4, Save Well, Spend Better. And then after that, and I always tell people about sometimes waiting for the opportunity, but you just got to be active. like me being active in the space, when the opportunity came, they had to give it to me. So we had, you know, the lockdown in March 2020, and then we had George Floyd, and all of a sudden they needed someone to talk about money, and they needed someone black. Well, guess what? I'm somebody that talks about money, and I'm black. So do you see what I'm saying? I'm not waiting. I'm taking now, because if I would have waited, they said, oh, they're looking for black people who with finance, it will be too late for me to get started. Yeah. I needed to already have a buzz, have a name. So that's why you put in the work. Don't wait for the opportunity. Put in the work and the opportunity will find you. Do you know what I mean? And so since then, you know, it's just gone leaps and bounds. And now literally, you know, this past week with everything that's happened, I was on Channel 4 on Steph's Pat Lunch. And then yesterday I was on Channel 5 on Jeremy Vine talking about the issues that the country are facing. And now I'm a voice to the whole nation, not just to my local. And sometimes, you know, we got to see past our area or even our race or even like, listen, I love my people and I do so much. I do loads of the community stuff, but I've got a gift that I can use to the nation and not even just this nation. My plan is to use it to the world. So I feel like, you know, just dream big. And that's what I've been doing.
Absolutely. And I mean, as you said, you can name the channels that you've been on, the different shows that you've been on. And now you're on Colourful. So, you know, it doesn't get much better than being on Colourful.
It doesn't.
Business Mix. Woohoo!
It doesn't. And you know what? That's a good point. You know, I want us... I feel like one thing that we don't do enough is uplift our own. Like, if I was on, I don't know, BBC London, I'll be putting it on socials. Like, I'm on BBC. Like, but I'm on Colourful. This is my people. Like, this is us, for us, supporting us, doing stuff for us. Business Mix, supporting black business from day dot. Like, these men are just jumping on it now because they can get a check or they can look good, you know what I mean, on the media. And that's why they're on it now. But we've got our people that have been supporting us from day, you know, giving us a platform, giving us knowledge, trying to make us be better. And I think we've got a, you know, I hate when I watch the mobiles and hardly anyone turns up, but then they do like whatever the Brits and everybody's begging to be at the Brits. It's like, right, we do our thing. Let's celebrate being around us and the things that we create. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is definitely what the kind of the business mix. And so even some of the events that you're at is all about actually giving each other a platform and giving each other not a hand out, but a hand up. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're going to help to elevate one another. And unfortunately, the world that we live, finances, money, that's a big part of being able to elevate yourself.
Yeah.
As much as it is all about you as a person, your mindset, your skills, your abilities, we know that we're in a world that is run and it's fueled by money and finance. What do you have? Your resources, for example.
Exactly.
So the more that we can support one another in building up our wealth and our resources, you know, the further we're all going to go. We're all going to go together.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess you've spoken a bit about what inspired you behind, you know, your starting. But do you remember that day or that time, that moment, that pivotal moment when you said, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do this. Like, this is it, what I want to do.
Yeah, you know what it was? It's that being a financial advisor, especially as, you know, we became more and more regulated, you became so restricted in what you could do, what you could say. You had to go through all these documents. And it was just like, for me, I just wanted the freedom to be myself. I felt like I was being shaped to be more like, you know, the most successful ones of my counterparts, who, again, most of my counterparts are white. And I was just like, I felt like I was talking like them. I was dressing like them. I was going, and I just felt like I was losing me. And having my own business almost gave myself back to me. Do you know what I mean? I could do things in my way, in the way that I feel comfortable. I could meet clients that are comfortable with the way I am. Do you know what I mean? Rather than, like, when I'm working for a bank, I might be in front of a client. The client might not necessarily interact with people like me on a day-to-day basis. So now we have to get over that unfamiliarity and try and find the common ground and build rapport. And at the end of the day, I just want to meet people. I'm like, yo, yes, well, I got my brother, and let's carry on. You know what I mean? There's no long thing, like, we ain't got to go through our family histories to before we can relate. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I wanted to help people that I felt needed the help. I was helping people go from 5 million to 7 million. And it's just like, is that really what I was brought on this earth to do? Do you know what I mean? And then they give you like 100 clients. So because you're dealing with such high net worth clients, they give you like maybe 150 clients is all they feel like you can manage. And I thought, what? Did I study all this and do all this just to look after 150 really, really wealthy people when I've come from the slums, when I've come from poverty? Do you know what I mean? Or did I come here to make a difference to my community and be a voice for my community? And not only to my community, but for my community. Because when I'm now on television, I'm coming on and they're saying, bro, okay, so people from this place can do this. Because that's not how they see us. Unless we're kicking ball or we're doing comedy or entertainment or something. They don't feel, you know what I mean? Or singing. They don't feel like we belong in these spaces. So imagine they need an expert. They need help. And they're coming to a man from a council estate in East London. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, that now changes what they think we're able to do and also changes what we think we're able to do. And I understand that's what I stand for. So for me, I get to do what I love. And I'm a big believer in just making money's great, but making money when you're enjoying it is even better. Do you know what I mean? Like, I got to enjoy it. And sometimes I felt like when I was in the bank, it was all about just making money. But you might not necessarily go home and sleep well at night because you feel like, should I have sold that? Should I have said that? Am I doing too much? Or where's my next sale coming from? I'm glad that that's behind me. And, you know, I'm now helping people. And then the benefit is I'm helping you and get paid and make money. Do you know what I mean? Rather than I need to make money to help myself.
Absolutely. So you've done a lot, as we know, we've kind of gone over that. What I'd like to know is, what for you personally, looking at yourself, where do you see like the biggest, I guess, area of growth, where you've developed the most, where you look back and you think, I didn't do that before, I didn't have that skill before, like where have you blossomed the most, would you say?
I think, if I'm being honest, you know, I always like to keep the thing as real as possible. I think where I have got better is as a husband and a father. You know, you see, sometimes when you want to achieve stuff in life, you have to be very driven, very focused. And even to some people, they may feel very selfish. Right. And so although I've got my wife, I've got my kids, like I've got my business was like, this is the dream, you know, this is the dream. And actually As I've gone, I've realized that, you know what, I'm helping the world, but am I helping my kids? Am I helping my wife? Am I like, what is the point in being a hero to the world, but being, you know, an enemy in your house? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Or not being there. And so for me, the biggest place I've evolved is with my family and with my, like, actually, like, you know, being there for my wife. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like, especially as a Black man, like, I feel like Black women are very good at supporting us in our dreams and our goals and ready to sacrifice for us. But when we blow, I feel like as men, we don't necessarily turn around and say, okay, you sacrificed for me, now it's my turn to sacrifice for you. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that was a big thing. And that's why I like to say it, because I feel like it's a big thing that I had to learn. And I feel like it's something that I want to put pressure on Black men to do more. Do you know what I mean? It's to say, like, actually, this woman sacrificed to allow you to be where you're at. And I feel like when I speak to a lot of the man, them, what they do is they say, right, I'm at this level now. I need a woman at this level because my missus is at the old level. But she's there because she sacrificed to allow you to grow. Yeah. Right. And now you've grown, and now you're surrounded by maybe women that are really doing well, or women are at your level. And now you say, well, this is the type of woman I should be. Actually, no. Because you wouldn't be there if somebody didn't take time for you. So actually take the time now, if you feel that your missus isn't at a level where you are, to lift her up to where you feel like she's the woman you want should be. And for me, I feel like that's something that I've had to learn and had to go over. But then also being like actually present. I think sometimes in business, even though I'm in my house, I'm thinking about clients. I'm thinking about the next contact, the next networking meeting, the next this and that. And, oh, I've got to pay my staff. And I'm not present. And these kids are young. Like, I've got to be present, because see when they're 15, 16 and I want to talk to them, these men are going to look at me like, who's my man over here? Like, do you know what I mean? Where's he been? Do you know what I mean? So it's now that I've got to put the groundwork in, do you know what I mean? To make sure that as they get older, there is a relationship, there is a respect, they can see what I'm doing for them. And let me tell you something, with one thing these youths don't, it's never enough. Like, you can buy them, it doesn't mean anything. That's not what they're going to remember. They're going to remember the time spent. Did you come to my rehearsals? Did you take me to gymnastics? Do you know what I mean? These are the things. So it's the balance of, I am so driven to do this because I understand that I am in a very privileged position. Do you know what I mean? Because you know how the media is. They select like four of us and they're like, you guys can run. Do you know what I mean? So I know that eventually this is going to stop. But while I'm on it, I've got to run and do as much as I can.
Take it all, yeah.
And take as much impact as I can. But at the same time, not at the detriment to my family.
Yeah, and I think as well, you said not at the detriment to your family, but also not at the detriment to yourself. Because working for yourself, freelancing, entrepreneur, self-employed, it's great. It allows a lot of freedom. It gives you a lot of time. It gives you, you know, you have all that. But actually, you still need to look after yourself. And I feel that having the team behind you, personally, your family, your friends, where you can actually, I'm taking off everything that I'm doing. I'm just going to be at home. I'm just being me. I'm just Emmanuel today. Like, don't worry about everything. You need that space as well. So being able to cultivate an environment where you can just be you. And go back, have that support, put work off, take off work and just chill.
And I think
that's really, really important for a lot of us to realize it can't be all work, work, work.
It can't be. And the thing is, you love what you do. So you're passionate about it and you've built it and you've seen it. And a lot of us, you know, the fear of going back to that 9 to 5, dealing with these mad managers and bosses and like, it makes you just want to go harder.
The
like,
fear is real, right?
The fear is real because I hated employment. Like, I hated it. Do you know what I mean? Although, like, I like the comfortability and, you know, holidays and even when I used to have sick days. You know when you think, well, I've still got a few sick days. Let me just be sick, like using sick days like holidays. Like, those days, I'm even sick now, I'm still at work. You understand? Like, it doesn't make no difference. Do you know what I mean?
So
I miss that. But at the same time, it's like, you're so fearful of going, falling back or things can change that you just want to work. But you're right. It's like, there has to be time for you to be you and do other things other than your business. Don't make your business your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear that. So I'm going to ask one more question before we get into the nitty gritty of today's show. So, as I said, we're near December, we're nearly in October. What have been Emmanuel's highlights for 2022? And can you divulge any plans, you know, big actions for 2023? Yeah, do we get an exclusive for 2023?
I'm going to give you like the exclusive. So, the big thing this year, that if you know me, like I left school with 4 GCSEs. Do you know what I mean? 2 in English, 1 in maths and PE. That was that. I went to college, I got a C, D and E. Do you know what I mean? I went to university, I got a 3rd class. My dad didn't even want to take a picture of me at my university graduation.
Stop it. Emmanuel, I care not
to... He said to me, do we celebrate 3rd class? That's what my dad said to me. He said, do we celebrate 3rd class? I didn't know that we did that. You know Nigerian parents, they got no respect. They just
listen. They didn't have your picture. The picture wasn't up. Is that what you're saying?
The picture is up, but he didn't want to be in the picture with me. My mum had to force me, come here. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he didn't want to be. And he's like, what are we doing here? Did we take a picture for this? So he was vexed, face angry the whole day. Like, I've taken a whole day off work for this. 3rd class.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? But this year, I got paid by a book company, HarperCollins, which is like second biggest publisher in the UK, to write a book. Somebody actually paid me to write a book, which is coming out in March next year. So it's absolutely massive for me, like to become a published author, like to actually have, you know, when we talk about legacy, even when I'm gone, you know, we read books of people that are not even here no more. They were still reading their books, we're still learning from them, you know, years and years and years later. Do you know what I mean? And so to know that I'm going to be a published author and have a book out there and be able to reach the nation coming from the background, it was just too much.
I wish we had sound effects. There should be.
We will be at that book launch. We will do everything. We will host your book launch and put it out there.
No, yes. Definitely.
Congratulations.
So,
that is so amazing. Much. That's amazing. So what an exclusive that is.
That's exclusive, right?
So that's not even going to be announced till like January next year. But I gave you like the exclusive on that one.
Hey.
So that to me, that's like, it means more because like for my kids to be able to see their dad wrote a book, like, you know what I mean? They already see me on TV and they have their own, pretend they're having their YouTube channels. We don't give them YouTube, but they pretend like they're, hi guys, there's no guys, but they pretend like there's guys. And you know, that's from seeing their dad, who's very normal to them and very real to them, doing things that are, you know, on TV. I mean, when I grew up, I just had, you know, Mr. Motivator and, you know, Trevor McDonald. Those are the only two black people I saw on TV. Do you know what I mean? And so for me, it's like to now be able to be there and them see it. So to be able to now be able to write a book and them to see that their dad has done that for me is amazing. And so, yeah, it's just knocking down them doors. And then the second big thing for this year is that we just recently launched our own financial advice firm. So, you know, I left the city, I left the bank, and now I come back having my own FCA regulated financial advice firm on my own terms, targeting mainly, you know, black people. And we're not hiding it. And my business partner's black. We've got two other advisors as well. So there's four of us. And, you know, we're targeting black wealth and we really want to, you know, build black wealth. And there's not a firm out there doing that right now. So it's been amazing.
I'm not crying. I just got something in my eye.
No, you see, and this is what we love. Like, this is what we love to watch, what we love to see. This is what we celebrate, you know, black excellence. When, you know, I love my people, no one can ever do that. But you know, when people want to talk about, oh, you know, black owned businesses, they always want to talk about earrings and shit. And it's like, you know what? That's great. That's because we all need earrings. I love my earrings, as you can see. Shea butter keeps my skin soft. But there's so much more out there that we can do, that we can achieve. We've got professionals in every single industry that you can ever imagine. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then we need to elevate and celebrate those as well. Those people need the platform also. So then, yes, we do financial advisors. Yes, I do know a black-owned financial advisors firm, Black-owned opticians. Yes, I do know a black-owned optician, actually. You know, this is where we need to be sitting. Yeah. And as you said, it's not necessarily a black-owned business only has black-owned customers, because no, not at all.
No.
We need to be in a position where we can, it doesn't, we're serving everybody. Do you know what I mean? The number one for financial advice, like, either, do you know what I mean? Any which way, that's the number one company for financial advice. And we know how to signpost people there.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? We know how to refer people over there. That's where we need to be, to keep that money circulating, to keep that black pound going round and round. Really?
Exactly. And we don't need to, like, we will help everyone, but let's be honest, I've worked at white financial advice companies and 99.9% of their clients are white. They don't need to say that I only, do you know what I mean? So we don't need to say that we're only looking for black people, but the likelihood is that people, the most people that will be attracted to us and our firm and feel comfortable around us are going to be our own. So let us know that it exists. And like you said, we walk in these spaces, but also, you know, we have people, I have white clients that want to support and say, look, actually, I want to put my money here because actually I want to support what you're doing and so forth. So, And sometimes you feel like, oh, you know, we need allies in everything in this life. You need allies. You need people. Like, my agent is white. Like, a lot of people who have helped me in my career have been white. And if not for them, like, there weren't people doing what I was doing for me to say I could go to my community and do it. The good thing is that for our children, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're going to know, like, my kids, whatever they know, whatever they want to do in life, I'm going to know somebody that they can go and get work experience from, because we have evolved, you know what I mean? And that's what we're building now. And so it's important to have allies and people that are going to support you and people that are going to be able to give you sponsorship and put you on their platform and really boost you. Do you know what I mean? But the thing for me is that this black owned thing is it's so important. Like, it's so important because I've learned my craft around, you know, the Asian community, around the Jewish community, and around the white community. And I see the traits. And even when I say Asian, like, I mean, like Chinese, like they take their culture so seriously that even when they're in another person, they still got to do things their own way in their own cultures, in the way that they believe. And I feel like we need to start taking back our culture and what it means to us and let us pass that on to our children. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like when I see some of these young people, I'm like, no, we never used to move like that. You know, you've been into like, you're too comfortable over here. Like, that's not our thing. We don't move in that way. And that's not what we do. And it's like, actually, we need to start taking that. And business is important. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Having business means that's money directly going back into Black families, into Black community, and spent. And the more we do that, the more stronger we are, the more they take us serious, the more we can go to a bank and say, I want a business loan, and they'd be like, your books make sense, here's the money. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what we want to do. Too much of us have Black businesses that are just surviving. It's just enough to pay us. And that's not what we want. We need businesses that are able to be in all parts of the country and be able to hire. Because again, when it comes to hiring, we know that if my CV is the same as somebody else's, and I'm Black and they're white, and the person that's hiring is white, and there's nothing between us, they're going to go on personality and how they fit in. Cool. So we need to be, it's called nepotism. We need to be able to do the same thing. And so we need to rise up and build and have more connections to the Caribbean and to Africa and these types of places, and not feel like everything we must get in this life must come from this one land.
So I'm seeing already gems going. But as we get into the thick of today's show, we had loads of questions, and we're like, okay, Emmanuel likes to do freestyle, so let's freestyle. So for our listeners, and me, as I'm listening to you, and I'm sure Rachel, with your background and everything, can you give us a synopsis of what's happened in the past couple of weeks financially and how it affects businesses, and where we stand, basically? Is it good? Is it bad? What does it mean for everybody?
The honest truth is, a lot of it is bad. We are in a cost of living crisis, which everybody would have felt, would have just seen. Whether you go to the supermarket, whether you go to the whether you go get petrol, whether you want to take a bus, whether you, anything you do right now is costing more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the problem is that it's costing us more, but our money is still the same. Mm-hmm. And what's even making it worse is that due to the government having to borrow from the pandemic and everything that's happened, that has weakened the pound. So yesterday, the pound was at one. I remember when the pound was £1 and it was $2 for every £1.
Yes.
Someone showed me speak. Yes, go and talk, because I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and yesterday it dropped to, for £1, it was $1.12.
It's almost the same.
Yeah.
And that's due to borrowing. So what happens when the government, you know, give out all these packages, they build debt on themselves. So they borrow. And so by borrowing, what that does is weaken the currency. Now, the more the currency weakens, remember, we're in the UK where we don't make anything. Yeah. We're not manufacturers. So we import. So if we have to import, the good thing about importing before was that the pound was strong. So we could buy more, meaning that we could get things cheaper. The pound is weak. So when we're going to buy, now it's costing us more. But then we've left the EU. So everybody in Europe is vexed at us. So they're not giving us no discounts no more. Do you know what I mean? There's no discounts. There's no nothing. So now, so we've got that issue in regards to pricing. And so that's passed on to business, and business obviously passed on that additional cost in the price to the products and services and so forth. So that's where we're seeing the increase there. But then also we've got the energy crisis where, you know, the whole Ukraine and Russia war, Russia has switched off their pipes. Now, we're not in Europe again. Unfortunately, we just left the EU at the wrong time. Do you know what I mean? If we were ever going to leave, this was not the time to be on your own. Do you know what I mean? So now we rely on Europe for our gas and energy. And so what happens now is that because we're not part of them, again, there's no discounts. There's no, we're all one Europe and we're all part of, so we're all gonna subsidize one another, help each other. There's none of that. They said, look, you man wanted to leave, yeah? This is the price. And guess what? When there's low supply and high demand, the cost goes up. So we've seen the price go up. So the government have now stepped in and, you know, done a price cap for individuals and a price cap for business. It's still gone up, but instead it's only for business now, it's only gone up 40%. Now, 40% is still a lot. Still a lot, because you have to understand these things are not, it's not 40% on something that's making you money. Yeah. So for example, if it was 40% increase in the price of in your product, you could say, oh, I could increase the price of my product and at least subsidize that. This is 40% increase in just keeping the lights on.
And and it's only for 6 months, right?
That's what I read. It's only for six months.
It's only for 6 months because that's the coldest time, isn't it? So then we're going into the next 6 months in the UK is the coldest period. So that's why they've done that. But they're going to have to do something after that because it's still too high. It's still too high for a lot of people to afford. So that the problem with that is, though, is that when they've now forecast the amount that's going to cost potentially is another huge borrowing that the government. So this is why the pound has just been weakened and weakened. So it's a very rough time. Then at the same time, the Bank of England said, wow, inflation's gone up. That means it's costing more. The spending is going higher. Like people, the cost is higher and higher. So we need to calm spending down. Because what happens is if we spend less, then businesses will now need to entice us to spend. What do? They reduce their prices, they do discounts. So that's why they say, okay, how do we reduce spending? Oh, okay, let's increase interest rates so that people are less wanting to spend and more wanting to save. Yeah, that's their plan behind it. That's the logic. But the problem
the
is...
The pressure is getting worse.
Really, really worse. Really, really, really worse. So what's happened now, though, is that what they're forgetting is that it's not people are spending on luxuries. Mm. People are spending on necessities, and those necessities have gone up.
Gone up as well. Yeah.
So even if you say you want to, you know, make people have less money, all you've done is just make people have less money. So now people's mortgages have gone up, the cost of debt's gone up. Guess what? We've been in a recession. They just haven't announced it. But you know, in a time like this, more and more of us can't meet our bills. So what do we do? We go into our overdrafts, we use our credit cards, we take out loans. Mm. So what happens is that actually debt increases at a time like this because people still want to try and maintain the old lifestyle that they used to.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't have enough funds to do it because they're having to spend money on other things that have gone up. So to fill that gap, that's where debt comes in. So what they've done is increase the price of debt. And so all that is just taking more money away from people at a time where people have already had money taken away from them.
Yes, I mean, so what do we do? I mean, and because I'm always thinking, okay, cost of living crisis, mm-hmm. get that. But actually, there's a cost of business as well. There's a cost of business crisis. As a business owner, I still need to move. It's almost like actually there's a double pressure. There's a double kind of thing on you as a business owner and as an individual person,
human living.
That is living. So are there any ways, I don't know, I don't want to say quick wins, but things that we can do almost immediately that can help us begin at least to future-proof our finances? A lot of us should have been doing that from before anyway.
Yeah.
Now we're at a point where I don't actually have much choice. I need to do something. Are there any we can kind of like, okay, I can cut my gym membership because I don't go to the gym. So let me just kind of
Again, another problem, and this is, you're right, but another problem is that everything at the gym, that's somebody's business.
I was just about to say that.
You see what I'm saying? So what happens is at a time like now is that because we're cutting and we're going to the essentials, the essential companies that we need, they're just going to make more money at winning because we're not going to stop using them. They're upping the price. But we're not going to stop. So we have to pay those things. Mm. And then what we do is we cut all the other things that we enjoy in life and the things we enjoy doing. So now we're seeing less people on the high street. We're seeing less people going to clubs. We're seeing less people going out. We're seeing less people travel. Do you know what I mean? And these are all businesses. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And when I mean business, I mean, there are, like, for example, there's Black Travel Club where you can travel to certain places and go together in groups. If people ain't got money, they're not traveling.
Yeah.
That's a business that's struggling. You know, we got Black Pound Day, but listen, if I'm struggling, my pound is as white as it gets. Do you know what I mean? Because I can't spend it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I can't spend the thing.
Yeah.
Like, so what happens is it really affects business. So what we have to do, and we have to be realistic. So like, yes, you can. I can tell you all the things, you know, like car, like plan and budget, and you know, look at your subscriptions, and you know, have a food plan, because food is probably one of the number one things where we waste a lot of our money. We do a big shop, and then you still go out, you buy breakfast, you buy lunch at work, then you come home.
Coffee's the thing that I don't drink coffee. Can I just say, I don't drink coffee. Coffee's the thing I don't understand. It's like when you're watching EastEnders and people go to the laundrette. I'm like, do you not have a washing machine in the house? Everybody drinks coffee outside. Why don't you make coffee at home or when you get to the office?
It's one of the things that with coffee is a treat, isn't it? We lack service. So as people, we like to be served. Yeah, that's just natural. You watched it. You've grown up. You like to be served. Coffee is something where you can be served at a very low entry price.
Yes.
So this is why they get write your name on a cup. You know, they got their special cup. You've got the smell. You know what I mean? You feel like you're getting served, and someone's giving you something, and someone's treating you with a little bit of respect. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
For your money, important.
You feel important for that moment at a very low price. Do you know what I mean? And so that's one of the things that people like to get their coffee. They like to be served. They like someone to service them and, you know, treat them special and have their little cream on top. Do you know what I mean? And maybe fancy make a little heart out of the thing. And do you know what I mean? You feel like you're doing something right in life. Do you know what I mean? Somebody wrote your name on a cup. And so for me, it's one of them things where it's just for us to look at ourselves and understand what's important to us. And, you know, I feel like money, we work so hard for it, but we're not at a point where we're making money work for us. Do you know what I mean? Like actually putting it to work. And I think for a lot of businesses, I would say, number one, you might have to start contracting. Do you know what I mean? You might have to start looking at contracting. Two, you might have to look at other streams of income, other side business. What can your business do that maybe can it offer an online service? Can you offer coaching? Can you offer can you reinvent your business to meet an audience that you're not serving to bring more income to it? These are the types of things that you have to look at. We can no longer say, I've got my one business, this is what I do, and this is what must make me money. We have to start to reinvent it. If you've got a hairdresser's, can you start bringing in tanning? Can you start bringing in waxing? Did it, like, what other service, massage? What other things can you bring you and utilize the space that you have that you're paying for that can bring you more revenue? That's what we have to start looking at.
Wow. So you heard it here, basically. What can we... It's a bit like when there was, when COVID, and everyone was kind of pivot that word.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I was saying, pivoting. What else can we do? And do you know what? We did it well.
I was just about to say, we did it well. We managed it.
Yeah, and a lot of people, a lot of businesses were like, actually, yeah, I've got this, to know, spare piece of whatever it is at the front. Actually, I could just serve from here. I don't actually need to be here. Oh, actually, I can just do this online. I actually don't even need the overheads of being in the office. But as you said, that's maybe somebody else's, you take your money out of somebody else's pocket when you're not paying your rent.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, you start from home, and you start from where you are.
Yeah.
I think, and we're very ingenious, enterprising people. We can make something out of nothing, and everybody wants it. So that is definitely something that we can go for.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so I guess the key tips, as you said, was about pivot. Also, I wanted to ask you about your online presence.
Yes.
Because I love your ingenious mix of comedy with hard-hitting facts about life.
Yes.
You've become, I don't know, would you class yourself as an influencer? Do you put yourself in that category?
I think I have to, even though I wouldn't really say I am, but I have to. The influence is there, definitely. Yeah.
The reason why I ask that is because as we're talking about kind of doing something different, I know a lot of people, especially young people, are looking at that as something.
Making money,
I can make money by doing this.
I can.
My voice can be heard to thousands. My video can go viral.
Yeah.
But I just wondered, is it as easy as these influencers make it look to be at that point, that pinnacle where people are sending you free clothes, people are sending you free hair, free lashes, whatever it is? How has it been for you?
I just be honest, like, you know, I always like to keep it real. Like, we got to a place where, for me, the biggest thing, when you say influencer, the biggest thing that has to be there is influence. I think some of us are focusing on, like you said, the free stuff that you're getting, but do you have an influence over an audience? It doesn't even have to be that big. Like, what, I've only got, I keep it real, I only got, what, 30,000 followers, but they're up because I'm in finance, like, the banks and so forth and the companies, they understand the influence I have.
Yes.
And, you know, I can get paid anywhere between 3 to 5K for one reel. Yeah. I used to go to work for 2-3 months to see that. Do you know what I mean? And now I get that for 60 seconds. Do you see what I'm saying? So the point being is that what's your influence? Do you know what I mean? What influence are you having? So it's not easy because you have to build an audience. That's the biggest thing. Do you have an audience? I have an engaged audience. When I put things out, when I put stuff out, they engage with it. Do you know what I mean? And so because of that, people, like, brands see that and say, wow, it costs us hundreds of thousands to be on TV. If I can come on and get, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people to get to see my product, I might get a million on that, but the actual people that are actually interested is very, very small. So actually that's why it's much more cheaper for them to pay us to if we've got an audience. So the biggest thing is to create an audience. How do you create an audience? You add value. So the focus I always tell people is, if you want to do the social media thing, is what value are you adding? Is it in knowledge? Is it in people feeling safe? Is it in making people feel better? Is it health? Is it comedy? Is it what is it? What is it that you're doing? And for me, I understand that my field is dry as anything. Finance is one of the most driest. I used to fall asleep in these conferences and that because it was just so boring. And I was like, how do I inject where I come from and my personality into what I'm meeting? And so that's how I created the blend of, you know, comedy and banter and seriousness, like still serious points that we're making, but in the most fun way whenever possible. And I think that blend worked and that made people share. That's what you want to do. At the end of the day, the more people share your stuff, the more the algorithm's like, oh, this person's keeping people on the app. Right. Let's push them. It's all money. That's all it is. So you've got to now create, how are you going to get people to want to come every day and look out for your stuff and share your stuff and want to be a part of your stuff and comment and like and all that? So that's the key. But yeah, it's not easy. It takes time. But once you do it, it's an income that someone's gone to work for that you've made in a day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And when are you getting your blue tick? Like, how do we do? What do we need to do?
Don't mind them.
Listen,
gosh, I'm like, don't know.
In my eyes, you've already got a blue tick, Emmanuel.
I'm sure. I'm sure when the book comes out, you know, I'm sure that
they'll be a published author.
Then I'll be in the media, and they'll be like, okay, yeah, we have to. That's how they are. But for me, I know what we're doing. Do you know what I mean? So that one of them things is coming. But I think what's most important is knowing yourself. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's why I love coming on things like this and just connecting and having people that are around you, that support you, that love you, that's always been around from day dot. And that's why I love you guys, love this show, and I'm so honored to be here. Do you know what I mean? To share the journey and be here, because you know what, if you guys didn't have platforms for us, you know what I mean, to get us started, like if I didn't start on you guys, I wouldn't have been comfortable on radio and did it. Do you know what I mean? We all got to start somewhere. So I appreciate what you're doing and the consistency. That's always something lacking in our community, is the consistency. We have good ideas, we do things well, but it's very difficult to stay consistent.
Come on, like, why is he saying this now? Talking to me now. Okay, yes, I get it.
Emmanuel, before we leave you, because we must end the show, we know it's all doom and gloom. It sounds like all doom and gloom. But what one positive thing can you say to our listeners, to our business audience, to leave them with? What one positive kind of thing can you leave with?
The biggest thing I can say is that, and this is what I always I tell people, is we're having a cost of living crisis, but we have to understand we've been having cost of living crisis. Where we come from, this is just, the only reason these are talking about it because they're feeling it. We've been in the slums.
Haven't we always been in a recession then?
From where we're coming from, we've always had a cost of living crisis. Do you know what I mean? We've all had it mum open up the oven and leave it on to keep the house warm. Mm. We have been not allowed to put the heater on. I've been getting licks for leaving the light on in the kitchen. We've been through this. Do you see what I'm saying? So don't allow the media to scare you into something that you've already come through and come over the other side. Just keep focusing, keep building, keep growing, and stay positive. Like, you don't focus on the things you can't change. You can't change your energy bill. Like, that's not in your control. You can't do that. That's going to be to government to kind of step in, because everybody's suffering. What can you change? How can you build your income? How can you develop yourself? How can you be a better person? How can you build your network? What are the things you can do that in your control to change your situation? That's what I want people to focus on, and they'll see the benefits.
Love it. Perfect thing to end on.
How can people get in touch with you? Where can they find you? What are your socials and handles and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so the handles is at the Eman Effect UK. That's on all the social media platforms. It's Emmanuel Asuko, ASUQUL on LinkedIn if you want to connect on LinkedIn. EmmanuelAsuko.com is the website. team@EmmanuelAsuko.com is the email address. But yeah, we're here to help. We're building Belvedere Wealth Management is the financial advice firm. So if you need pensions, investments, life insurance, wills, all of them things there, we've now got a firm for that. So Belvedere Wealth Management is the financial advice firm.
Amazing, amazing. And before we go, must give a shout out to Mrs. Asuko and your mini Asukos at home.
Yes, the minis. Yes,
yes. Pick them up. Give a shout out and say, yeah, thank you for keeping this man in check.
Yes, and I appreciate it.
When he needs to, so... Thank you very much. Oh, Chris, that was...
It's an end. Thank you. It's so good to have you on the show, Emmanuel. We are forever grateful, and keep blowing up.
Yes.
Thank you.
But thank you, guys. Rachel, end of another week.
It is. Or just the beginning, however you look at things.
Yeah. I hear you. I'll be flying out, but I won't forget you guys. Before I do...
You'll be in my safe, capable hands. I might have to fly solo for a little while, but you got it.
Please stay tuned to Colourful Radio.
Bye.
The Business Mix Show.
Too obvious, okay, I like your confidence. Oh, this one could come, it's okay. Look like Alani's, ride you like Alani's. Okay, get at a parties, right here at a parties. You better start a whole fire, now I'm on fire, I need someone, I need Tyler, I need Ramani, Rebecca, Serena, Selena. Let's start a whole choir, I like the way that you get your own bag. You don't need no one, help you inspire, But I'ma add to you, I'ma give you some bags, I'ma add to you. We're on the avenue and I ain't never seen no one bad as you. Nobody bad. They can't disrespect you, I'll gladly shoot. I don't play about mine, I don't care. I'm addicted to you and it's clear. I like the way your body is. Is that too obvious? Okay, I like your confidence. Oh, that's what good comments. Okay, like my Kalani's. Glad you like Kalani's. Okay, here at the parties. Right here at the parties. You better start a whole fire, Now I'm on fire, I need someone, I need Tyler, I need Ramani, Rebecca, Serena, Selena. Let's start a whole choir, I like the way that you get your own bag. You don't need no one, help you inspire, The bitch and match my energy. Act like she into me. Tell the world you mine and you not what these bitches been to me. It's plenty of fishes in the sea. I need me the biggest free. Step out like my wife, but bust me down like she my enemy. I need a brand new starting five. I need a new one on my mind. I just need someone to fall in line. I only want it if it's in line. Cause when I want it, I take your time. Yeah, if I want it, I make it mine. I like the way your body is. Is that too obvious? Okay, I like your cockiness. Being confident, you bad just like Kehlani is. Just like Kehlani is, you bad just like Kehlani is. Just like Kehlani is, so, baby, you bad like me, big bad like me, ought to get you a bag like me. Is that too obvious? Okay, I like your confidence. I thought that's what could come is. Okay, like my Kalani's. Glad you like Kalani's. Okay, here at the parties. Right here at the parties. You better start a whole fire, Now I'm on fire, I need someone, I need Tyler, I need Ramani, Rebecca, Serena, Selena. Let's start a whole choir, I like the way that you get your own bag. You don't need no one, help you inspire, Baby, let's make a movie. Let's make a movie. Come and seduce me, Know that I'm choosy. I need you to back it up. Make it clap, that ain't fast enough. I'm mad enough.
it's okay, I like your confidence. Oh, that's what could come, it's okay, like Kalani's. Ride you like Kalani, it's okay, hey, where the parties? Ride you where the parties? You better start a whole fire, now I'm on fire, I need someone, I need Tyler, I need Ramani, Rebecca, Serena, Selena, let's start a whole choir.
God bless the gentle breeze that blows across the trees and bring forth good vibes like these. No father, no pot of rice and peas. Bring it on and let's connect, please. My selector, aim and then squeeze. A couple rounds from the big bad machine. My sound will never cease. And tell them we're ready. Hey, yeah, I hope you're ready. Hear the common sound is heavy. Tell the common sound. She named Marva. She from Kingston, not Balaclava. She love mango, not cassava. They say she and they say she act like lava. Not like lava, she act like lava. Everybody says she sweet like guava. You ready? God knows she ready. When she listen to this song, she ready. Telecom sound is heavy.
Let's